cabin one. G13 is the release of escrow deposits for the Riverwood Village, location at South 27th Street and West Riverwood Drive, Riverwood Park subdivision located at South 51st Street and West Reserve Way, Villas of Franklin, located at South Susiana Court and West Village Drive, Fountains of Franklin, located at 5600 West Rawson Avenue, People's Choice, Scrub Plus Car Wash, location 770 West Rawson Avenue, and Berkshire Edition Number 2, subdivision location South 51st Street and West Berkshire Drive. And this is the item that we have a resident who spoke who might have some additional information on this. Also, this item was tabled from previous, inadvertently tabled. I was the one who made the motion to table this for Riverwood Village. That was my intent at the time. The entire item got tabled, which was fine because I also have some information on the Berkshire addition. But we do have some comments about Riverwood, and I did bring the Riverwood documents. So Riverwood, and this is an item I want to vote on. So there was 1,000. This is on page 194. There was $161,068 was set aside for the escrow on Riverwood. The complication on the previous agenda is the same one that got carried over this time. It said it's a subdivision, and then it says it's a association or something. How is that worded? It says it's a commercial development, and then it says it's a subdivision. So in the motion, in the recommended motion, it says it's a subdivision. Up on top, it's a commercial development, when actually it's both. So that was one of the clarifications that I wanted. On the documents for this, there is money in the development agreement to handle the stormwater issues. It would be very nice if, before we release this and also the Brookshire edition, that staff would go out and double check and make sure that everything is in order before we release these. So those are the only two. I have not looked at any of the other aldermen's districts, if there's anything in your development agreements on this, but I don't know if you want to just table them all or if you'd like to pass the ones in your district, but I am asking that Riverwood Village and Brookshire to have an additional to look at by staff on this. So is there any discussion? Alderman Mayor.
I have not heard any other concerns other than what we've heard tonight and what you've just voiced on the other situations. Can we take them separately? Is there other pending issues or... I am not either.
Go ahead.
This was developed by Mr. Bennett prior to leaving, being aware of these developments, as part of the package of a more comprehensive, rather extensive listing. But these were the ones that came forward that were believed to be able to be released. I do. Actually, a gentleman from the managing company for Riverwood Village contacted me earlier today, and it appears that he actually has gone to the efforts of finding a cost estimate for the direction. So, if you're interested in seeing what the direction is, that would be the man. So, following through then, I think it was 4.
So then, with that, the motion could be to Alderwoman Mayor.
I'm sorry. I guess I need to understand how this all comes together with this May 16th. When you're talking about the Shadwell subdivision, is that the Shadwell Road that you're being...
Shadwell subdivision?
Yeah, on paper.
Right. Actually, there is money in the letter of credit for Shadwell. It hasn't gotten...
Is that the road that's being
yes.
Asphalt right now?
That is correct.
So are we talking about that one in this request for council action?
No.
No.
No, okay. Thank you.
And I don't
because I know that there are issues with that, so where, maybe I can't talk about it. I don't know.
Alderman Heather?
I have no issues with mine. For the Villas of Franklin location at South Susanna Court and West Villa Drive. Mine's fine.
Yours is fine?
Yes.
And that's item 8? That's on page 192. It lists them all by number. And the ones that I'm pointing out are 4 and 14. And I think you're talking about number 8.
No, number 6. Number 6.
Number 6. Mm-hmm. Okay. And are there any other items on the list? If there are no other concerns with any of the items on the list, I think the appropriate motion would be to table items 4 and 14 from the release of escrows specific to Riverwood and Brookshire Edition 2 for staff follow-up and then releasing the remaining items.
I would make that motion.
I'll second.
Okay, we have a motion, a second. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? No opposed? Motion carries. Thanks, Ron, and I did copy this up. Would you like to speak? I'd have to suspend the bringing orders of business. Or
I just wanted to say something.
Is it something you could address with Ron, or would you want the council to?
Actually, I just wanted to thank a few of you because the Pond Association was very difficult to start. If it weren't for you, John Bennett, who was wonderful, Tom Taylor, and Jesse, the city attorney, I am so sorry I butchered your name, but if it weren't for you guys, that Pond Association
Jesse
would
fine.
Have never been started. So thank you.
That's so awesome.
You're welcome. And Ron, I do have some of the documents here that maybe we don't have to get on right away. Okay, that's we're on 14, resolution approving the supplemental agreement number 6 with HNTV Corporation in the amount not to exceed $59,164 for the final design services related to the streetscape elements for the South 27th Street corridor reconstruction.
I would like to make the motion with an amendment to it.
Okay.
The motion to adopt resolution number 2014, the resolution approving supplemental agreement number 6 with HNTV Corporation in an amount not to exceed $59,164 for a final design services related to streetscape elements for the 27th Street corridor reconstruction with the clarification that 50% of the cost share will be received from Oak Creek and 50% will be obtained from the TID 3.
I'll second.
Okay. Is there any discussion? Alderman Mayer?
These were costs that were considered in the overall project. It's nothing new. This is already existing. This is already part of the whole plan that was coming to us long, long ago.
City Attorney?
I understand that the Assistant City Engineer provided a whole additional packet of documents. Somewhere today, I yelled through the wall and said, if you have time to sit down because I just want an update because he's been there since 2008 at all these meetings, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I thought, whole thing was just a culmination of what the council approved in a final MOU in March of this year. Then I read the action sheet, and the action sheet spells it all out, including the 50-50. And I said, well, you read the action sheet, and it tells you everything. This is the culmination of everything that was expected through all the years, and it's just the last step. And everybody knew that was working on this, that HNTV had this last-ditch thing to do. And I did say, is there any room for time extension if there are any questions? And his simple answer was no. And I said July 1. He said no. And oh no. It's timely because by August 1, HMTV has to have all this stuff to DOT for DOT's final putting together the whole project.
Okay. Engineer Romeis, do you need to add anything to that, or are you okay?
No, just that it's really being driven by DOT's reconstruction. So, okay. So this type of work has to be submitted to the bid package.
For the new members of the council, I pulled this out of my basement. This is the 2008 document. I briefed up on it again. There are some things in here. I can obviously see why they need to update this and finalize it and get this information. There are things in here that have changed quite a bit. And then there's the technical data about what size and, of course, the breakaway of the signage and the specifications for the signage that have to get to the DOT so they can get going on the reconstruction. So if any of the aldermen would like to view this, I can loan this out, but I would like it back. It's always good reference. But it's there's quite a bit of information here that could help bring you up to date. We have a motion on the floor and a second. We have Alderman Evans would like to comment.
Yeah. It says on the action sheet, HNTB contemplated a future amendment. I couldn't see that in anything in any of the documentation that the assistant attorney gave us. And then I'm trying to take these sheets of data and compare them to data in all those other sheets. And I couldn't even compare these numbers to anything. And so we've got... We started out with $329,663, which went up to $561,288. And you're saying this $59,000 is part of that $561,288. It's not above, it's not an addition. Okay, I'll address.
And I think the city attorney should.
My simplistic understanding is these final services were never contracted before. I don't know if the numbers you're reading in were estimates of a total project cost or just for that level of services. All I know is there were probably literally hundreds of meetings, 27 city steering committee, DOT, city staff Franklin, city staff Oak Creek, both common councils, I recall, met together jointly on this. 2008, and I think maybe in 2011, and this has been an ongoing process with the two municipalities agreeing on everything, and this final recommendation here was City of Franklin staff meeting with Oak Creek staff for the last 2 months, three, four times, and negotiating it with HNTB.
May I address Mr. Rotzenberg? Hello. Can you tell me, and I know you came on board way after this started, the $194,000 way back in 2008, where did that go? Do you know? That was back with Zizzo Group. And are they still involved, Zizzo?
I would have to research financial records to see what happened to $195,000. But it is, if it was related to South 27th Street reconstruction, then it was highly likely that that charge was charged to TID3 costs.
I'll
research that and get back to you all.
And does Northwestern Mutual have any input regarding any of this streetscaping? Does anyone know?
A number of public meetings were held. Public comment.
Well, I mean, in
the whole process by DOT and through
Mr. Dillon?
I was involved in two meetings at Northwestern Mutual about 2011, and they had staff there. We were giving them updates for what was happening. And they were comfortable what was going on at that time. That's all I know. Two times, 2011, I believe, they got updates from us for what was going on. And the staff person representing Northwestern Mutual appeared to be comfortable.
Thank you.
Alderwoman Evans, there is a list, when I was reading up on this, there is a list of people that they actually sought comment within this document. So it probably would have been helpful. I tried to have them give you as much information as I could without overwhelming everyone with the data that was there, but this probably would be very helpful.
Yeah, I have reviewed that online, okay. So thank you. It's just trying to review these figures, corresponding them with the documents I did receive that you asked for. They don't correspond.
One of the things that I saw for the amount of money, I didn't see anything for a hard copy like we have with this. It was all digital. It might be nice for us to at least have one printed copy. So I don't know if I could encourage that out of the $59,000 to get one, at least one printed copy, so it's not all dependent on us to print that. I would encourage staff to fit that into there. We do have a motion on the floor and a second.
We're still discussing.
Alder Mayor.
Ron, the other issue that you and I are dealing with on Highway 100 is the state as well. Is there any way that we can hold, I mean, that's been going on for over a year now for the sidewalks on Highway 100. Is there any way we can send a strong message to the state? And I know you're meeting with them Thursday. I'm at a position where if they don't cooperate with us, I'm not going to try and cooperate with them in the future. And I can't hold this up for that. But I really want them to know. I want to send a strong message to them.
My city attorney has informed me that we're veering up the agenda a little bit.
It was a DOT, though.
Okay. Alderman D'Andrea.
I was looking, you know, at page 203, we're talking about crosswalk, sidewalk entrance, crosswalk special pavement edge. And I recall approximately about a year ago, we approved the width of the sidewalk, and we deviated from the initial plan of the 27th Street corridor by approving a narrower sidewalk than our counterpart Oak Creek is doing on their side. How does all this affect the approval that we did a year ago with this type of work embellishments that are going to occur on the sidewalks now, and we now approve something different than the plan?
Well, there are several things different in the plan. That's why they need to take it and update it. So they would have to include that. Would that be right, Ms. Rose?
The intent by the DOT was to install 5-foot sidewalks in Transit 75.
Yes.
Requirements of that. You voted and chose to go 6 feet wide. The city will have to pay the additional. But it's a standard common item on the extension sidewalk that will be designed into the project. It's really not part of this. This is enhancements and highlights, if you will, to the area. Some special treatment that's been finalized through HMDP. So it's you know, there are common elements that are already fixed, you know, into the DOT's plan. That sidewalk is one of those items.
What is the process for us to get the final look at this? Because I noticed that in the documents it says they're going to take our final input from City of Franklin and Oak Creek. I did notice some errors in this document that need to be corrected. So I'm just wondering, what is the process? Are they going to give us one copy or a digital copy, is this going to go to staff? Is it going to come before the council for the final acceptance? Or
certainly see, you know, signage, you know, that blends with that color, kind of tannish color, used integrated in portions of the corner of the walks at certain intersections. Glad to get that information available to you.
One of the things on the amenities, and you had said that the walkway wouldn't have been part of this, but would have, had we gone with the trail, would that have been more part of this? Because, you know, I just met with some, you know, trying to learn more about this economic development and how to, you know, make a good community flow. One of the major things that was advice from these developers who are very well respected in here was you have a great opportunity, but you have a need to make a lot of connections, and certainly one of your great features in Franklin are these trails. And then, you know, here we had that issue that we could have had in this amenity, but we ended up with the same O, and we have, you know, the neighboring community, which is going with the more, you know, sought after, I guess is the way to put it. So I don't know if this council still believes that amenity should not be put in there or not, but I this would probably be our very last opportunity if we're going to be handing this all over to the DOT. Would that be correct?
Right. DOT is expecting all reports and we are involved in the water utility aspect. August 1st,
If there were a change of minds on people to put that amenity in there, would it be appropriate to have them put it in when they are updating this final document? I mean, I'm not saying anybody on the council is willing to do that. I'm just asking the question that if that would happen.
You're suggesting the possibility of changing the traditional, you know, sidewalks
to back to what the original
path or
right to back to what the original plan had suggested.
I'm not sure. I'd have to check if that's a possibility. But was taken in agreement after much discussion.
I think there wasn't a whole lot of understanding about what the purpose was that when the vote was taken. So that's why I bring it up. You can ask the question if any of the other aldermen are interested. I guess you can talk with Mr. Romeis about that if you still see that's something. But I just didn't want the opportunity to pass this by. This is the last opportunity. Alderman Daniel.
I'm not going to jeopardize the project. If Doug, you want to make an amendment to see if engineering can talk and if it's practical or possible. But other than that, no, I'm not jeopardizing this project. We have to move forward. Otherwise, we are jeopardizing the portion of money from the state, and then we're going to have to pick this all up ourselves. So, and then we're passing half of it on to Oak Creek, but it's not. We've dragged this out too long because we were misinformed a year ago in regards to the proper proper. Layout of this sidewalk planning. Well, the vote was made. Okay, granted, you can do a gratis question, but other than that, let's move forward.
Alderman Schmidt.
My motion stands as is. We've been down this road a year ago already, as Alderman D'Angelo suggested. We discussed with the sidewalks. We went through this whole thing, and now we're facing a deadline of 30 days. I'm fine with where things are, and let's move forward.
Is there any additional discussion? Okay. We have a motion?
Yeah, and a second.
Motion and a second. Okay, we have a motion and a second. All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Seeing no opposed, the motion carries. Okay. We are on 15 on ordinance to amend the Unified Development Ordinance text at 15-10.0102 to provide for membership upon the Plan Commission of the Assistant City Engineer in the absence of the City Engineer. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed?
Discussion?
Discussion. Go ahead.
I was under the impression that Mr. Romeist is the acting city engineer right now, and is that correct?
He's fulfilling the duties in the absence or the vacancy of the office of the city engineer, and that was per a prior general ordinance that was adopted by the county council. I believe that's the June 3rd meeting, and he called me one day and he said, do I sign as city engineer or acting city engineer? And I paused for a second and I said, acting. He said, well, then I have to change the document. I said, no, write the word acting in with the pen that you sign your name.
So then the answer is yes, he is acting.
What's an acting city engineer? He's fulfilling the duties of a city engineer. I think that's a common understanding, so yes, he's the acting city engineer. Does that need a job title? Mr. Huberto would have told me that if it did.
Well, I'm just wondering, should the motion be... instead of assistant, should it have acting city engineers? For the ordinance.
Still the assistant city engineer.
Yeah, his job title is assistant city engineer, so okay. You're fine. The use of acting is more colloquial than it is in statutory. Mm-hmm. So courts always end up having to play with that. So actually sticking with, if we're putting in our ordinance, assistant city engineer is fine. But from our perspective, he is still acting as city engineer, but his job title is still assistant city engineer.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing no opposed, motion carries. Item G16, succession planning for the building inspection, including a temporary upgrade of an assistant building inspector to first assist building inspector. Is there a motion?
Move to approve.
Second.
Any discussion on that? No discussion. Motion carried. Or all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing no opposed. Motion carried. 6 or 17. This is City of Franklin Community Development Block Grant Program for 2015, including soliciting public input for additional project ideas. Mr. Roberta just loves this topic. So
it circles around once a year, and we're at that point where we are looking for any recommendations, absent any that come in. I work with staff to try to come up with any proposals that we can. The county, in the last couple of years, since HUD has been getting more involved in various enforcement issues, has been pushing for larger and larger projects. Our typical allocation would be in the neighborhood of around $50,000. It's hard to find good capital projects for that amount, but we will continue to look for some. There's also some potential to look at linking with some existing programs that the county has that might make money available to seniors and other qualifying low-income people that they can use for things such as grants or for roof repair and things like that. So I'll look into some of those options if we don't come up with specific projects that might be beneficial to directly to the city. Again, the important aspect of it is it has to serve a low income clientele directly, permanently disabled people and seniors by definition of the federal government fall into that category, but other than that, it's sometimes difficult to come up with projects that might fit into it. So we just put out the word for everybody, let me know if there's some, and then we'll have this item again on your agenda for some direction at the next meeting, and that gives us just about 2 weeks to try and complete applications in time by the county's deadline.
Alderwoman Mayor.
I just want to let you know that when we
get to item 22, I may have some ideas on to use for that too. Just making that comment.
So, anyone else have any discussion? Alderwoman Evans?
Regarding the Franklin Travel Program, it says costs will only be eligible if they include some type of educational aspect. That's on page 218.
Yes.
Well, and that's for, like, you know, the travel field trips that you take.
Correct.
Well, I think some of those trips for educational purposes, couldn't we integrate some trips on, like, how to shop for, you know, going to stores or something, and how to shop for nutritional foods, things like that, or taking a trip downtown, you know, how to get to jury duty, or, you know, go to the courthouse. I mean, things like that. I'm sure there'd be some senior citizens that are comfortable doing those types of things.
Yes, we could, but right now we don't have we just have a volunteer who's program coordinator who's
right.
Followed the project the way it's been for many years, and it has been more of a regional tour kind of thing. It hasn't been focused on that sort of educational component that maybe the Department on Aging would normally try to provide something. It's not to say that couldn't be done in the future, but I'm not sure under our current volunteer setup that's probably something that she would be able or willing to engage in.
And then as far as the money the city of Franklin attributes to senior programs in general, if you look to the 2010 census, our 65 and older population was over 13% for that census. And then in 2025, we're expected to have about 6,900 seniors in Franklin. So I think we really need to consider increasing the amount of money that we use for our senior population. I just think it's really important that we start thinking about that in general.
That comes up each year during the annual budget process, and since the appropriated amount in our budget plays into this, I always make sure I point it out in the CDBG applications and when you deal with CDBG, but when the annual budget comes around is the opportunity to look at increasing those numbers on the city side.
I had talked to Ms. Silbert about, I don't know how anyone else feels about the need for pedestrian access on College Avenue. Anyone else see a problem when they drive down College Avenue? I asked him to look at from 35th Street to 27th Street. There is a significant need for pedestrian safety for handicapped and senior citizens. It might involve land acquisitions. It might be outside of the realm, but we should probably be looking at that.
The challenge in that for this year may be that it requires getting income surveys completed by every resident along that stretch. Might be what we're running into.
So for the other ones, you don't have to do income surveys for the senior programs or anything?
Again, for the one program we've run for the last few years, it was able to connect Clare Meadows, which is a specifically and distinctive entirely senior facility. And so I was able to work out with the county the ability to have that included as a CDBG program. In the meantime, since we first started that program, HUD has been becoming more and more stringent about a various application of making sure all the surveys are done in the background. So I was able to get one survey result filled out by the manager of Clare Meadows instead of having to go to each unit and every residence along the street. So some of the past standards may not necessarily apply for any new sidewalk programs, but I know who to talk to at the county to try and find out.
Alder Mayor.
College or county? So maybe we should petition county to be doing
sidewalks.
In addition to that, we're also dealing with another municipality across the street. Maybe we should be working with them.
I tried that.
Not taking the whole thing on ourselves. Maybe oftentimes grants, I don't know about CDBG, but if you show a regionalization of things, the grants tend to have a better looked at more favorably if we could do a regionalization with Greenfield to do sidewalks on College or something like that.
The CDBG is a grant. The CDBG allocation is provided all to the county, and then the county, through its committee process and the county board action, distributes it to the individual. So the county is one of the participants in the process. CDBG as a whole is one big grant to the county that all except for two of the communities in the county participate in.
So then taking care of their own highway might be a good thing for them to do.
Just to give you a little background information on that, when College Avenue was up for reconstruction, the city had the opportunity to pave the sidewalk. The city is there's a cost share on the sidewalk, like 80-20 or something like that on College. At the time, the city had the majority of the cost, and the council would not budge. They would not vote at all to assist the pedestrians over there. So unless the council's willing to do that, it doesn't really matter what the county wants on that. This council has to decide if we're going to make our community safe or not. The best thing I could get was the paved shoulders. So the paved shoulders are supposed to be 5 foot on the Franklin side, and that's the best I could get. That's supposed to be the solution, but it's pretty slim. So Ms. Liberta, you don't really need any action. This is information. You're going to put this back on. You'd like us to give you
if you ideas. Have any ideas or citizens share them with you, please forward them to.
Do we have any information on how the county policy on how funds are distributed? Or can we get something like that, just a brief synopsis?
The brief synopsis is the outlying communities get their share through an arrangement that is historically been approved by the ICC on how all the communities share. That agreement that we've had for a number of years is currently up, and the program coordinator for this mentioned at the last ICC meeting that they were beginning to get a group to put in to redevelop that new agreement, and that it will have to have some changes from what it's historically been at because of the some of the different requirements by HUD that may not have always been as strictly adhered to. The county does have two policies that I'm trying to think if we referenced in here as to minimum size of a project and minimum length of term for public service projects, and they haven't necessarily been following those. My expectation is that with this new agreement that they'll be working on for all the communities to participate in, and the city of Franklin's always been a member, that they'll probably firm up those rules and begin to enforce them. And where that could be an issue is the city of Franklin has historically done a number of smaller projects with it. And I've suggested a couple in here that might be included. For example, properly venting the senior dining facility in the roof. If you come in the city hall, sometimes you can smell the kitchen all throughout. You know when it's sauerkraut day or fish day, it's everywhere. And because it's not necessarily vented the way you would probably do it. And so that's one of the projects, but that's probably not above the $25,000 limit, I think, that they're probably going to begin enforcing. enforcing it, I'm guessing, with this new agreement, but since they haven't started it yet. But I know the program director has gone back to all the county board actions in CDBG and is trying to make sure she reconciles it and follows everything. And if there's an old rule out there that everyone's ignored, either get it corrected or get it removed. So it's hard to give you a definitive on those rules because I think they're going to change. In general, though, all the communities submit their applications. They all go on a list, and the county committee, of which County Board Supervisor Taylor is a member, he has a public hearing on all of those, and then they forward a recommendation to the full county board.
So when are they expecting to have this new redevelopment?
I don't know. They've just begun to work on it. I imagine they're anticipating getting it in place for next calendar year, which is a little odd given that we're having to put in applications right now.
Do we usually put in applications for more than what we expect to get?
Only the last 2 years has that even been allowed. And we did do that, and we've been very successful. 1 year we got double our allocation because we were the first community to realize you could do that. And the new program director was going to let communities who had larger applications submit them for communities that had, were underspending so they could get the full allocation spent. So whereas 2 years ago we had an allocation normally of around 46, and we put in for an $80,000 for the sidewalk project, and we got the full amount. So I've tried to keep in touch with the department. We've taken advantage of a number of things by over the years by paying attention to what they say at the county and fitting in. For example, historically, you can have public service projects, which are like the community service things, the senior programming, could only be 15% of the total allocation. And they tell every community that, but many communities never put in any. They just did capital projects. So we were typically running as much as 35 or 40% public service projects with our allocation, because when you aggregate it up through the whole county, they were still under the 15%. So they've since sort of closed that, I don't want to say loophole, but doing their math a little differently now. So we haven't been able to do that, and we're back in line with other parties this year, I believe.
Okay.
Alderman Schmidt?
I'll make a motion to have authorized staff to move forward on the projects already identified for potential CDBG grant funding.
Second.
Alderman Mayor.
Well, except that I have a little bit of something on when we get to the number 22 that I would like to suggest also. So maybe if that could be included also.
The motion, I don't think, precludes anything.
Well, how I interpret the motion is, since I do point some things out here that don't use up all the money, that gives us some direction where we can begin thinking about those, and then there still is the next meeting, July 1st. So if other ideas come in, we can bring those back in conjunction with that and sort of reconcile it all at that meeting. But this does give us some guidance.
City Clerk, would you read back the motion?
Alderman Schmidt moved to direct staff to move forward with the items listed for the Community Development Block Grant Program for 2015.
And we have a motion second. I'm wondering if we've allowed to hear all the ideas before we have the opportunity to make that decision.
Again. I second it with the understanding that that was not limiting it. That was just moving forward on those for now, but still being open is my second.
And if you should want to change that or pull that back, because some other project came up,
it's still open.
But he's still going to bring back other potential items at the next meeting.
I'm asking the question.
It might require at that point then a motion to reconsider if we're open up for more. So it might just be easiest just to take no action today, and we'll perceive a general direction that the ideas we have are good ones, but keep the idea door open for more, and we'll bring it back at your next, at your first July meeting for a final answer, recognizing there won't be any time after that for further delay. But
I rescind my motion.
I'm keeping my second.
I appreciate your consideration.
You both have to agree on, according to the city attorney, to allow that. So.
Well, if a motion dies without a second, then a second dies without a motion.
No.
Okay, I'll take my second back.
Okay. There's no motion on the floor at the present time. Ms. Liberta, would you check into the possibility of Alderwoman Evans' comment about the health series with the health department, that maybe they could assist the volunteer, because the volunteer is a little bit limited in being able to carry out some of those things, that maybe the health department would have a program that they could help pretty much set up for her?
The only thing that would do with CDBG funds is that would limit our ability to get CDBG funds for our existing senior programs, because I'm confident that there would be a problem adding additional, what they would call smaller public service projects on top of where we...
No, what I was suggesting is switching a fireside theater tour for a health department assisting putting together one of the health tours is what I was saying.
Okay, I see what you're saying.
Yeah. So that helps address her comment. So it's not all theater. It includes some helpful...
Educational.
Yeah. More educational.
I'm confident we already have the ability to control that within the current application, but we just have to deal with our own internal administrative and programmatic issues.
Okay. Moving on to item 18, authorization to include the salt shed roof project in the contract for roofing services with the Industrial Roofing Service.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? We have a motion, a second. No discussion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? There are no opposed. Motion carries. 19, request to continue with AT&T as the vendor for the telephone services at certain or city facilities in accordance with the State of Wisconsin bid award, and authorization for the Director of Administration to execute and administer the 5-year telephone service agreements. Do we have a motion?
So move.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Alderwoman Mayer and then Alderwoman Evans.
Well, I guess I would like to just take into consideration Nancy Gunch's comments about UVerse and the support that AT&T gives as a connecting to as many people as possible. Is AT&T the one that can actually do that? Are there other options?
I can answer that. We really are talking about two separate things. This is our own individual service. UVerse, the city used to be able to control such things under our franchise agreements about 4, maybe 5 years ago now. The state took away local government's abilities to control franchise agreements for cable television services. And frankly, it was AT&T who invested a lot of money statewide to make sure that happened. As soon as it happened, they rolled UVerse out. So we no longer have any control over those franchise agreements or its application or its enforcement. You have to go to the State Department of Financial Institutions, I believe, to see who oversees that. And they just oversee the franchising and the enforcement part that goes to a different State Department altogether. And since they had the language changed, very, very little ever happens relative to a complaint that goes to the state in that regard. So we have no control over it anymore whatsoever.
You're up next.
Did this go to the Technology Commission at all, or was this handled all by your office?
I did not take this one to the Technology Commission. They were heavily involved in the last when we bid it out broadly, and AT&T won with the lowest bid. And the reason we did that then is because we weren't sure about the state contracts. But in this case, now that they've won the state contract, you have a competitively secured price. And so I find it very advantageous for a municipality when the state has a contract, since they've now been making a provision of all their state bids, that a local government can get in on it. You almost always get the best price. Sometimes other vendors come and say, oh, we'll do better now. But you know what? They had their chance when the state put it out for everybody. And AT&T is the low bidder in this area. So I'm just recommending staying with them.
And you had said previously we had analog lines. Is this all going to be digital now, or will we still have analog?
No, we keep a few located in certain places that if there are problems with the digital lines, you know, and not everybody's aware of where they are, but it does give us the ability, if certain aspects of the system go down, to still be able to plug into an analog line and have one line that could go in emergency circumstances. We kept about five sort of located around, but we did change to, I think it is the PRI, or the ISD and PRIs, which improve things. And after we switched to AT&T, prior to this, we had a lot of service problems. AT&T came out, put in some new boxes out front, fixed everything. And during the term of this, if you would have asked me 2 months ago, I would have said we'd never had any outage. But it turns out there was a squirrel that took up residence in a box this winter, and we had about a week of problems, and they ended up finding it, and we haven't had it since. So AT&T has proved to be a fairly quality service. So for the total monthly bill, which is only running, you know, a little around $1,200, did not seem worth the hours it took for an extensive process like we went through last time. So
thank you.
Glad to know we have Time Warner Cable system, like I do.
So we get to build a squirrel for the disruption?
Pardon?
We get to build a squirrel for the disruption?
They just evicted him.
Oh.
Is the council ready for the question?
Yes.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? There are no opposed. Motion carries. Item 20, the ordinance authorizing the City of Franklin to participate in the pet license amnesty period program for the Milwaukee Area Domestic Animal Control Commission, MADAC, for the month of August 2014.
Move to approve.
Second.
With the inclusion of the squirrel, I think you should be able
to. Second.
Okay. Any discussion?
You get the license on
neck. Seeing no discussion, all those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? No opposed. Motion carries. On item 21, this is a constituent of mine. I have talked to him. He is going to follow up with the consultant or the contractor. And so I just let him know I would ask staff to provide him the contractor contact information. He was happy with that. So with that, we don't need to take any action on item 21.
You're saying we don't need
Motion to deny
the claim of Ronald Turow pursuant to...
We don't need to go into closed session.
Right. So I'll make a motion to deny the claim of Ronald Turow pursuant to Wisconsin Statute 893.80 sub 1G based upon and in concurrence with the insurance adjuster that the investigation revealed that the City of Franklin has no liability based on the protection of work provision as discussed in the council action sheet.
Second.
Any discussion? No discussion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? No opposed. Motion carries. 22, park impact fees, expenditure status, and potential park impact fees, expenditures, purchases, park commission report, park impact fees, utilization, and potential reimbursement. The Common Council may enter into closed session pursuant to Section 19.851E of the Wisconsin Stats. 2, deliberate the purchasing of properties for public purposes for competitive and bargaining reasons, and to reopen open session at the same place thereafter to act on such matters discussed therein as it deems appropriate. Is there a desire to go into closed session?
Yes.
Alderman Mayor?
I make a motion to go into closed session.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, we have a second. All those are there any discussion? Roll call.
Alderwoman Mayer?
Aye.
Alderman Schmidt?
Aye.
Alderwoman Evans?
Aye.
Alderman Mayer?
Aye.
Alderman D'Andrea?
Aye.
Good. Motion carries. Okay, we're in open session.
That's Mike trying to get us out of here.
Okay, what's the pleasure on item 22?
I'd like to make a motion to table item 22 until our meeting on July 1st.
Second.
We have a second to table. Any discussion?
Well, aren't we going to direct staff to do something?
We know what we're doing.
Oh, okay.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? The motion carries. We table item 22. License and permit. Item H.
Licensing committee met today at 4:30, and is recommending approval of the following list as of June 17, 2014. For operator new, Linda Gauthier, approved. Operator renewal, Linda Gauthier, 1415, approved. Patrick Klupska, operator new, approved. Operator new, Neil Robbins, approved. Cheyenne Turlane, hold for court disposition as a, she's not going to have it until 7-3, so it'll probably be our second meeting in July. Class A combination, Wisconsin CVS Pharmacy approved. New operators then would be Jessica Blatchen approved, Balji Ball approved, Tina Barretta approved, Michael Bartoloni approved, Alicia Bellinger approved, Mary Volante approved, Tanya Balensky approved, missing seal. Alyssa Blackburn approved, Caitlin Bost approved, Phoebe Batros approved, subject to completion of the beverage serving course. James Braun approved, Mark Fries approved, Daniel Cruvello approved, Michelle Curtis approved, Daniel Cruvello approved, Cheryl Danforth approved, Mitchell Dalata approved, David Draculek approved, Angela Dyer approved, Anthony Emmanuel III approved, Alexander Eisenberg approved, Christine Fairchild approved, Alyssa Faldi approved, Shannon Ford approved, Ronald Fuller approved, Gino Gagliano approved, Nicole Gauss approved, Kermit Gillis approved, Christina Grimmel approved, Deborah Hagen approved, Stephen Hall approved, Deborah Hanley approved, missing seal, Evan Hoffman approved, Ozzie Jackson Jr. approved, Jenny Jennings approved, Ellen Jensen approved, Muhammad Ali Cameron approved, Minashki Kapoor approved, Sabitri Karal approved,
Allison Kritzroll approved, Rochelle Conkle approved, Benjamin Kraft approved, subject to the retake of the beverage service course. Kelly Kuklich approved, missing seal. Sue Kuiper approved, Dawn Luce approved, Candy Luxted approved, Sarah Malakari approved, Amy Mast, missing seal but hold for appearance. Mark Matecki approved, Amy Moore approved, Selena Morin approved but missing seal, Josephina Mora approved, Courtney Murray approved, Ali Najira approved, James Nelson approved, Lori Olson approved, Corey Orban approved, James Pelzekany, hold for additional information. Gregory Polin approved. Daniel Rebekija approved but missing seal. Richard Rebekija approved but missing seal. Deborah Reichert approved. Update driver's license. Richard Ruchlin approved. Neil Robbins, that was previously approved on page 1 at an appointment at 4:45. Christine Rosowitz approved. Joseph Santos approved. Judy Schneider approved. Aaron Schramm approved. Aaron Schuster approved. Trisha Schieger approved. Vito Cicilano approved. Daniel Stedler approved but missing seal. Michael Steffes approved. Mary Tarari approved. Stacy Teteria approved. Christopher Van Cherian approved but missing seal. Joseph Vesquez approved. Melissa Vermillion approved. Lori Valdvish is approved. Kathleen Wagner is approved. Roger Young approved. And Raquel Zaleski approved. Now, Daycare Academy of Integrity approved, subject to inspections. Daycare Risen Savior Lutheran Preschool approved, subject to inspections. And Little Cancun is to be held off until our July 1st meeting. And I'm looking for a second.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? No opposed? Motion carries. We have our bills, voucher approval. There's four motions needed. So we have a cash list vouchers for June 4th, 2004 through June 12th, 2004. Number is 152-4292. Number is 152-600, totaling $566,525.22, including in the solicitation of T. Number is 2628. T. Number is 2613. The library voucher is totaling $11,341.29.
So moved.
Second.
Net payroll dated June 13, 2014, $355,130.86, previously estimated at $338,000. Payroll deductions for June 13, 2014 are $230,474.47, previously estimated at $231,000.
So moved.
Second.
Aye.
Aye.
Alderman Evans.
Aye.
Alderman Mayer.
Aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. Estimated payroll dated, what? Oh, do you want me to just read the motion? Okay. Motion approving the net payroll date June 27, 2014, estimated at $325,000 of various payroll deductions, estimated at $412,000 plus any city matching payments being carried. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Okay, motion second, roll call.
Alderman
Andrea? Aye.
Alderman Mayer?
Aye.
Alderman Evans?
Aye.
Alderman Schmidt?
Aye.
Alderman Mayer?
Aye.
5-0, motion carries. Motion approving property tax payments ranging numbers 132.86 through 132.92 in amount of $7,174,981.28 dated May 30th, 2014 and June 16th, 2014.
So moved.
Second.
Roll call.
Alderman Mayer?
Aye.
Alderman Schmidt?
Aye.
Alderman Evans?
Aye.
Alderman Mayer?
Aye.
Alderman Evans?
Aye.
5-0, motion carries. Okay, that's it. Just a reminder, we need a hold for June 30th. I think it's our next one. We're having that. We are having that. And motion adjourned.
So moved.
Second. Janet, you seconded it first.
I made the motion.
Aye.
Aye.
Mr. Silberta?
Quick point of information order, whatever, for the superintendent. The one item is tabled to the first. If staff wants, if there's other things on the committee of the whole, do we have to have council action to be able to bring it to the committee of the whole on the 30th if they tabled it to the first? The whole parts thing for the first. Because if you're having a committee of the whole, that's a good place to do that kind of discussion. Otherwise, we'll just bring it for the first.
If someone on the council, I understood that that was a unanimous motion. Somebody wishes to move, reconsider, to allow staff to bring back all the acquisition subject matters on existing city property and the development of parks for open session only at the committee of the whole, they could move to reconsider if that passes, make that motion.
Okay. I think we already have a motion in terms, so let's reason the motion.
Well, they'll just bring it on the first. I don't know.
That's fine. Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Motion to adjourn. We're voting on it right now.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Did all opposed?
Any opposed? No opposed. We are adjourned. The time is 10 o'clock.